When it comes to mental health, we know that things like stress and work situations or personal relationships affect us. But there are other factors that you probably do not think about that can affect your sense of well-being. When it comes to mental health, you have to look at all the factors that are affecting you because they could be impacting how you progress in your childhood trauma healing journey. Today, I will talk about four factors to address, and when you address them, they would help to strengthen your mental health so that you can have an effective process with your trauma healing. Hey, sister friend, welcome to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast. Do you want to overcome the wounds and impacts of childhood trauma that are holding you back in life? Do you want to get unstuck, begin thriving, and confidently living God's best in all areas? I'm Jenny L., a certified clinical trauma specialist, life coach, trauma thriver, and most of all, a daughter of God living loved and on purpose. In this podcast, I'll share trauma education, healing strategies along with biblical applications and motivational stories to support you in your journey toward trauma healing and thriving. So grab your journal, settle into your favorite spot, and let's begin. Before we get started, I want to read a review from one of our listeners, Amy Rust, and Amy wrote in and said, "In this podcast, there is help for anxiety that comes from unrecognized childhood trauma. By coming at it from a biblical perspective and inviting God into our trauma recovery, Jenny L provides God-led trauma recovery." Thank you so much, Amy, and I am glad to know that you recognize the fact that I do invite God into every part of the process. Especially as Christian women, we are holistic beings, and yes, we believe in the psychology of everything, but we also believe in God, our creator, the one who made us. He has the blueprint for our lives, the manual, and by continuing to invite him into our process, we can ensure that we are healing in the way he wants us to with all of the resources that he makes available. So thank you so much, Amy, for leaving that review. And I encourage you all to continue leaving your reviews and I will read them out on the show. So let's get started with today's episode. When trauma survivors focus on healing childhood trauma, they tend to zone in on the past. There is this urgency to just heal, which is good because this is what should be done. The thing is, as you go to therapy or you get coaching or other mental health support, there are other factors that will affect your trauma healing work, and it will affect how it is applied and even experienced. Think of it this way. You are living in the present, the here and now, but the impacts of your past continue to haunt you and affect your day-to-day living. You come to the point where you realize you need some help to process what is happening to you, and you begin to do your work. This is all great so far. But what you need to also know is that the inputs and the experiences you have today, they contribute to the type of mental or emotional environment you have to work with as you deal with your childhood trauma. When I see clients, I always start by creating this internal safety and stabilization. And this means looking at what is happening in their lives now, how they are managing or coping with their current environment, what skills they may need or what changes they may need to implement so that they can begin regulating their nervous system or responding to the here and now in a way that creates this calm mental and emotional state, a regulated state that will support them so that they can begin doing the deeper trauma healing work. And this is what I want to focus on today. As you consider or continue doing your trauma healing work, what are the things that are affecting your mental health today? What are the things that you need to address now so you can begin creating the type of mindset, emotional balance, or mental safety to support the type of work that you need to do as you address your trauma? This is the question for today. The four areas I want to talk about are current events, loneliness, social drivers, and technology. And I start with current events because it's based on what is happening in our world today. You can't really escape it. The pandemic and the lockdown did impact many of the activities we did to pass the time or maybe even distract ourselves. And during that time, people were forced to pause and even pay more attention to what was happening in the world. In that pause, we witnessed violent events and how they impacted people across the world. There was particularly a highlight on the violence towards people of color. There were increased cases and reporting of identity-based hate, and we continue to see graphic images of pain and suffering that people experience every day. Here's a statistic. A 2022 study showed that 73% of American adults reported feeling overwhelmed by the number of crises that they see happening worldwide. And that is just based on reports coming from American respondents. What about the responses from people across the world? Over the last few years, I've seen more and more clients who come to me struggling to cope with worldwide events because they just feel so helpless and they're concerned about their future and the future of their children. Seeing uncertain and unpredictable events such as the global pandemic or economic instability, it provokes fear and uncertainty about the future, that's for sure. And I must say, and this is a personal experience, this may or may not be okay with you, but the way I see negative or distressing news reported these days, you know, such as the natural disasters, acts of violence, the political unrest, all of this leaves me with this heightened sense of stress and anxiety. And I recognize that continuous exposure to this type of alarming news coverage, it does not support my well-being. And if you think about it, if you're trying to find hope for your own trauma healing, when you're constantly thinking of and seeing these negative events, it makes the process twice as hard, especially if you have a trauma legacy of distorted thinking, fear, or anxiety. When faced with the constant barrage of distressing information, many trauma survivors feel powerless to make a positive change or to protect themselves and their loved ones. And this leads to a sense of despair and even a prolonged sadness. Even as I say all of this now, I can just feel the heaviness as I talk about it. So I think it's time to move on to the next area because I believe you get what I'm saying. Now let's talk about loneliness, which is another factor that impacts mental health and your ability to engage in your trauma healing journey. In episode 20, I talked about loneliness as it relates to the holidays, and I provided some tips to support you with that. But of course, it goes without saying that loneliness is not restricted to any specific season. It occurs everywhere at any time, and it may not always look like what you think. If you feel lonely, then you know what it's like. But when it comes to other people, it may be harder to spot because you can be in a family, in a relationship, in a community, and still feel lonely. Here's another statistic. 58%, that is more than half of the US adults, are lonely. And this rate is actually much higher for people with low income, for parents, young adults, people in underrepresented racial groups, and individuals living with a mental health condition. When you feel lonely, it's harder to get up and do the everyday things that you need to do. You may think, why bother? It wouldn't matter if I stay in bed all day. Sometimes you just need to know that you have a person to help you carry life's load when it gets too much for you. And if you're used to doing things on your own all of the time, that gets tiring, right? And when you don't feel connected, like you don't have that someone to share your experience with, that could be mentally draining. And if you're dealing with all of that, then how much more difficult is it to do your trauma work and to maintain a healthy mindset? It's not impossible, but it just makes it a bit more difficult. Social drivers is the third factor that affects your mental wellness. And by social drivers, I mean things like the conditions under which you work, live, study, and even play. These are factors like the economic status, education level, your neighborhood, what services you have access to, and of course, your financial situation. Worrying about money is a major factor that impacts mental health. So if you're worrying about money, you don't have enough to do the dailies, for example, how would you even pay for therapy or coaching or any type of mental health services? Some people and countries are fortunate enough that they can use insurance to cover therapy, but many people do not. So it's a real struggle for a lot of people who need help. The fourth and final area I want to talk about is technology and social media, which is not so social. Let's state the obvious. Having access to the internet can be fantastic. You can keep in touch with people across the globe. You can network for business activities. You can access learning materials on demand at your fingertip. And you can create additional or even a main source of income. These are all great benefits. But it does go without saying that how you use or perhaps misuse technology can have its downfalls and impacts on your mental health. With technology, you have constant access to bad news coverage and people's opinions on any and every given topic. Social media also promotes this fear of missing out that keeps you glued to your platforms instead of out about living your life and doing your healing work. Then the continuous viewing of the highlights of people's lives leads to depressive thoughts, low self-esteem, sour moods, comparison syndrome, and all of this contributes to discontent. You look at your life and you think, meh, my life is not as good as X or Y or whoever I see on social media. Then there's the work side to it. There is the constant access to emails. Those notifications, yes, they do provide a little dopamine hit. And I suppose it could also cause a bit of dread depending on where that ping comes from. All of this means that the lines between work and rest are blending more and more together. When do you take time to think and to be still with God or even yourself? When do you detach? You know, unwise use of technology increases the likelihood of burnout. And when you're burnt out, there's little time left for self-care. There's little motivation for reflection and for healing. And this is where people often wonder why it is so difficult to turn their minds off. All of these factors I mentioned today contribute to the hypervigilance that keeps trauma survivors in that loop of not relaxing. What do you do if you find that these factors are impacting your peace of mind, your emotional wellness, and interfering with how you do your trauma work, or even prevents you from taking steps towards starting your trauma healing journey? We live in an information world, and you can research and find answers to pretty much anything you need. Yet, with all the information that's out there, there seems to be a lack of implementation for many of the reasons that I shared today. So the first way to address these factors, I would say, is to go slowly and do what you can. Trying to do too much at once will continue to contribute to that feeling of overwhelm, and you will struggle to stay consistent. You may feel so overwhelmed that you never even take the first step towards making changes. As you decide to go slowly, don't try to cut things out without finding healthy alternatives, because if you leave the space open, you know there's the saying, life hates a vacuum. If you leave the space open, you will be driven back to old behaviors or even different behaviors that are just as unsupportive. If you decide to limit your screen time by an hour, for example, what will you do in that hour? When I started doing this practice, I decided to fill my space with Bible study on certain days, or I read a book or took a self-development course on different days. I also was more intentional about calling friends, texting, or going out for a walk depending on the time of day. So I was not just twiddling my thumbs in that space and then being driven back to old behavior. You can use that time to do things like this, or you can develop new coping skills to deal with your current challenges. Learn some body regulation exercises. Learn how to manage your feelings. Learn how to regulate your nervous system, or you can just go to bed earlier. The other thing I want to mention is to make sure to track your progress, and this is not to make it a chore, but just to note how you are progressing as you make these changes. The second point is to find your support system. I will continue to encourage you to try and find people who can support your emotional and mental health, because this can make all the difference. Trauma heals in healthy relationships, and having others with you helps you see that you are not alone. We really are more alike than we are different, and we can find commonality and support with other people. And when you get tired and discouraged by the state of the world, the things happening in your life, you can lean on your people for encouragement and for mutual support. Despite what your trauma experience taught you, you do not have to go this alone. Healing and growing in community is such a beautiful experience. So seek out groups where you have familiar or similar interests, like maybe a book club, a running club, crafting classes, a spiritual community. Find groups that can offer you comfort and connection. But basically, the ultimate goal is to find a support system that suits your needs and provide a safe space for your healing. I'll touch a little bit more on technology before we wrap up, and that would be to say, set technology boundaries. You will know what this needs to look like for you. For example, I don't have Facebook on my phone anymore, so it's not as easily accessible. And if I need to use Facebook, which I do primarily to wish my friends happy birthday or to run my business or business networking, then I have to go to my computer. It was hard at first, and I had thoughts that my friends would think I don't care if I don't follow, like, or respond to their posts. Then I realized by cutting that time down, I had more time to connect with people in real life, so I did not lose much at all. And I also have this rule that I don't check my messages or WhatsApp until after I do my morning devotions, or perhaps even when I start my workday. You can do things like that, and you can also block social media between certain hours. You can turn off your notifications and limit your screen time. A lot of this work would be to speak to the internal voice that tells you you're missing out on something. But you can decide what you want to pay attention to. And to help you decide, you can begin monitoring your mood and your emotions before and after you engage with technology and social media. And if you're finding that these activities makes you feel down or changes your emotions or your feelings after you've done it, then that is a good indicator that that is something that needs to be tweaked, addressed, or eliminated. Setting the right environment for healing is an important part of your process. Based on what I shared today, where do you want to start? Make a choice and come over into our Facebook community, Heal Childhood Trauma as Christian Women, and share where you're at. We would be happy to support you in your healing journey. Did this podcast episode encourage, inspire, or teach you something new? If so, would you be so kind as to share it with another friend who needs help to overcome her childhood trauma? And don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and written review for the show. This is the best way to let me know how you're enjoying the show, and it also helps Apple promote it to other sisters who need to hear it. Thank you for listening. I'm cheering for your healing. Join me again on Thursday for another episode. And until then, take time to breathe and be blessed.